Hello, sports fans. Today is Wednesday, April the 23rd, and it's time for Richmond Times-Dispatch Sports. I'm Virginia Voice volunteer Chris Terrell, and let's dive right in. Our first story from the front page of the Richmond Times-Dispatch Sports section comes to us from Zach Joachim of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Rams restocking draws praise. VCU lands impact players in Lewis, Ward, and Djokovic. First-year VCU basketball coach Phil Martelli Jr. and his fun-loving new staff are, some might say, cooking. The cliché saying, which proliferates the Atlantic 10 and college basketball communities this time of year, goes, VCU doesn't rebuild, it reloads. If you haven't seen the memes, you're missing out. After the departure of former coach Ryan Odom for UVA, and subsequent introduction of Martelli as the 14th head coach in program history, it would have been understandable for the transitional period to entail a rebuilding process. Not so. VCU is reloading indeed, with three high-profile commitments joining the fold in recent days, and Rams coaches getting in on the social media fun. On Friday, Gonzaga College High School point guard Nick Lewis, the number 55 overall recruit in the class of 2025, announced his commitment to the Rams. On Saturday, LSU junior wing Terrell Ward, a sharpshooting former four-star recruit who played two seasons for the Tigers, committed to VCU. And late Monday night, College of Charleston sophomore forward Lazar Djokovic joined the Rams, capping a wild few days that saw Martelli's 2025-2026 roster begin to come into focus in earnest. Amid all the speculation and fanfare of the transfer portal and recruiting cycle, Martelli's assistants have quickly endeared themselves to the VCU community with a string of coded updates via social media. Chief of Staff Brendan Phelps and assistant coaches Ryan Daly and Chris Cole have all posted emojis and GIFs on the X platform to tease incoming commitments. On Monday night, leading up to Djokovic's commitment, Daly posted a Ram emoji, Cole posted a Bang emoji, and Phelps posted a GIF of Tom Hanks dancing in the 1988 family comedy Big, perhaps suggesting the Rams had secured a forward. Similar posts preceded the Lewis and Ward announcements. Fun times in Ram Nation. The series of additions are looked at by the college hoops community as major positive steps for Martelli's Rams. VCU is definitely one of the bigger off-season winners. Lazar Djokovic is a big-time talent who should only get better, said Field of 68's college hoops writer Sean Paul. The Rams brought in a pair of highly talented bigs in Bryant transfer Keyshawn Mitchell and Djokovic. Two really good wings fours in Bryant transfer Barry Evans, Oregon transfer Jadrian Tracy, and Terrell Ward. The key is getting production from high upside guards in former top 60 recruits, Connecticut transfer Amon Knoll and Nick Lewis. Phil Martelli Jr. assembled a dangerous squad in a short period of time. The Rams aren't going anywhere. Lewis, good fit. A former Xavier signee who also fielded interest from Vanderbilt and Iowa, Lewis is a 6'1", 195-pound four-star recruit who loves to play fast in transition and has shined for Team Takeover, a prominent AAU program in the Nike Elite Youth Basketball League. This is huge for VCU, not just because Lewis is one of the best lead guards in the country, but because it makes a statement on the recruiting trail and gives the new staff a huge boost of momentum, wrote 24/7 Sports Director of Scouting Adam Finkelstein. Lewis previously committed to Xavier, but reopened his recruitment after former Musketeers coach Sean Miller left for Texas. Finkelstein described Lewis as a pacey guard who's constantly in attack mode and offers standout tenacity and competitiveness on the defensive end. He seems a perfect fit for Martelli's fast-paced system. The coach's Bryant squad finished 6th nationally in adjusted tempo last season. Ward, three-point threat. Ward is a 6'6", 195-pound Washington, D.C. native with 2 years of eligibility remaining. He entered the portal on March 21st after sitting out the 2024-2025 season to focus on his mental health. In 2023-2024, he was one of the best shooters in the SEC and led LSU in box plus-minus. A lanky wing, Ward averaged 9.1 points on 43.8% shooting from the field that season, but was particularly dangerous from beyond the arc, shooting 41.3% from three-point range while averaging 22 minutes per game. He appeared in 54 games in 2 seasons with the Tigers after attending DeMatha Catholic in Hyattsville, Maryland. Out of high school, 24/7 Sports rated Ward as a 4-star prospect, number 41 overall in the country. "It's a blessing to be part of a team. I'll never take this opportunity for granted again and can't wait to get started on this new process," Ward posted on Monday beside gold and black heart emojis. Djokovic adds height. A 6'11", 235-pound native of Gornji Milanovac, Serbia, Djokovic played a season apiece at Xavier and Charleston and will be a rising junior with 2 years of eligibility remaining. For the Musketeers in 2023-2024, he appeared in 28 games, averaging 2.8 points and 2.9 rebounds in 14.4 minutes. Last year for the Cougars, he appeared in 29 games with 19 starts, averaging 7.9 points, 6.3 rebounds, and 1.1 blocks, while shooting 52.6% from the field. "I'm grateful and excited to announce my commitment to VCU," Djokovic posted on X. "All glory to God for opening this door. Thank you to everyone who supported me. Ready to work and represent Ram Nation the right way. Let's go Rams!" Djokovic excels rolling to the basket in the pick-and-roll game. His highlights include lots of high-flying dunks via lobs and dump-offs. He's also a capable passer out of the post and has a soft touch around the rim. Defensively, he provides physicality and strength down low, attributes the Rams lacked last year, a deficiency exposed by BYU's dominance in the paint in the Rams' NCAA tournament first-round defeat. Billups commits to Longwood. VCU rising junior wing and Verina High alumnus Thatz Billups on Tuesday announced his commitment to Longwood. The Richmond native played in 57 games in 2 full and 1 partial medical redshirt season for the Rams, averaging 3.5 points and 9.3 minutes. "The way VCU's roster is shaping out, it was tough to see where Billups would find the playing time necessary for his growth and development. The move to the Lancers makes sense for an All-Metro honoree and former top 100 recruit looking for regular playing time and the opportunity to realize the high ceiling for which he was initially recruited. Ram Nation, thank you," Billups posted on X. Roster update. In addition to Lewis, Ward, and Djokovic, VCU has 7 players: Evans, Tracy, senior forward Christian Furman, junior forward Keyshawn Mitchell of Bryant, sophomore guards Hill Jr., Noel, and Brandon Jennings locked into the 2025-2026 roster. After Billups' departure, that leaves Martelli's final 5 roster spots left in question, assuming he plans to use all 15, which is not a guarantee. Junior forward Obi Okafor, junior wing Michael Bell, and sophomore forward Luke Bamboye remain in the transfer portal and undecided. Incoming class of 2025 wing Jordan Tillery, who originally committed to the Rams under Odom, has not made an announcement on his future. And there remains hope that graduate guard Zeb Jackson could receive an extra year of eligibility pursuant to a sophomore year at Michigan, in which Jackson appeared in just 4 games before leaving the program to attend to a medical matter. Jackson should receive a verdict on his eligibility soon. It appears Okafor will leave, and Bell is likely to stay. Sources have indicated that Tillery intends to stick with his commitment. That leaves Bamboye as the major remaining question mark as Grand Canyon continues to make a concerted push for the shot-blocking Englishman. Moving on now to the NBA playoffs, our next story comes to us from Joe Reedy of the Associated Press. Send it in, Jerome. Ex-UVA star extends career season with big Game 1 for Cleveland. Dateline, Cleveland. Ty Jerome had to wait 5 years to play in his first NBA playoff game. On Sunday night, he made the most of the opportunity. Jerome scored 16 of his 28 points in the fourth quarter, and the Cleveland Cavaliers rolled to a 121-100 victory over the Miami Heat in the first game of the Eastern Conference first-round series. "Solid, solid game one," said Jerome, who helped lead the University of Virginia to the 2019 NCAA championship. Coach Kenny Atkinson didn't expect Jerome, 27, to have this type of debut. "I should have expected it because he's kind of done it all year," said Atkinson, a former standout point guard for the University of Richmond. Jerome also was the fourth player in franchise history to score at least 28 points coming off the bench. The game Sunday continued what has been a breakthrough season for Jerome. The 6'5" guard is in his sixth NBA season, but played in only 2 games last season in his first year with the Cavaliers because of a right ankle injury. Jerome was drafted in the first round of the 2019 draft by the Philadelphia 76ers, but was dealt to Boston in a draft night trade, then to Phoenix a few weeks later. He spent 1 year with the Suns before he was included in a multiplayer trade that sent him to Oklahoma City in 2020. In his first year with the Thunder, Jerome averaged a career-best 10.7 points in 33 games. He spent another year in OKC, bouncing back and forth to the G League, then a year with Golden State, before landing with Cleveland in the summer of 2023. Jerome played in a career-best 70 games in the regular season in 2024-2025 and averaged 12.5 points. Before the Cavaliers took the floor Sunday, Jerome was named one of the finalists for the NBA's Sixth Man of the Year Award. Boston's Peyton Pritchard was announced as the winner Tuesday. "Your back's kind of against the wall. I didn't really have a huge body of work in the NBA, and you kind of have one last shot in a way to make it right," Jerome said about his mentality going into the season. "I had all that time off to reflect and do mental work and see what was needed to improve on. Confidence and aggression was a thing for me as well, especially." Jerome is known as one of the more vocal bench players on the Cavaliers. But on Sunday, it was his shooting that did the talking. He was 10 of 15 from the field, going 5 of 8 on three-pointers, and had 5 rebounds and 3 assists in 28 minutes. While Jerome's fourth quarter shooting, he was 6 of 7 from the field and made all 3 of his three-point attempts, was the talk of social media, his teammates were not surprised. "I mean, this is who he's been," said Donovan Mitchell, who has known Jerome since they were both 8 in New York. "It is full circle to come back from being 8 years old to my first basketball teammate to now here we are. I know everybody's going to react like this is a shock, but he's been doing this for us all year." Atkinson's favorite play made by Jerome wasn't a basket. Instead, it was a drive and pass to Jared Allen for a layup with 5:47 remaining that gave the Cavaliers a 104-90 lead. "He got downhill and made that lefty pocket pass to Allen for the layup," Atkinson said. "They went zone and he kind of shot them out of the zone, hitting 2 3-pointers. He did it all tonight, and then defensively smart in the right position. He turned the game for us." Moving back to college basketball, our next story comes to us from John O'Connor of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. "You are looking to Daughtry to help boost offense. Richmonder saw improvements in game last season." The University of Richmond sought offensive elevators, according to its coach, and brings in a player who's trending up. Jaden Daughtry's junior year homecoming. He attended L.C. Byrd High and Benedictine before moving on to Hargrave Military Academy and then 2 seasons at Indiana State, appears to match the desire of Chris Mooney, the Spiders' coach for 2 decades. Mooney, following a 10-22 season, 5-13 in the A-10, said among UR's priorities was the acquisition of a little bit of a scoring punch. Daughtry, a 6'7" southpaw, whose 230-pound body matured a great deal since high school, last season for the Sycamores averaged 12.9 points and 4.3 rebounds while shooting 59%, the top success rate in the Missouri Valley Conference. The majority of his offensive production occurred inside, keyed by footwork that freed him for high-percentage opportunities. "I grew up playing center. I grew up playing the big man until I got to be about 8th grade. I grew up working on a bunch of footwork and post moves around the basket. Pivots, step throughs," Daughtry said in a Monday interview. "That definitely opened up my offense. And I've been working on my jump shot and my passing and my ball handling." He made 12 of 30 three-point attempts last season for the Sycamores. Daughtry's list of transfer options did not begin with Virginia schools, he said, though the opportunity to come back to Richmond as a Spider ranked as a significant pro on that list. "If I could come for a nice amount and for a great program, definitely," said Daughtry, named All-Metro at L.C. Byrd and Benedictine. "When he visited Richmond, from the jump, I just got the family vibe, the family feeling for everybody," said Daughtry, who intends to begin workouts with the Spiders in May. Last season at Indiana State, Daughtry played 20 minutes a game off the bench, with 3 starts in 32 games. That breakout sophomore season followed a freshman year during which Daughtry played in 12 games, totaling 37 points and 19 rebounds. He was among the Missouri Valley Conference's most improved players as a sophomore. The Sycamores finished 14-18 overall and 8-12 in the MVC. Daughtry said that he received recruiting interest from some Virginia colleges, Old Dominion, Norfolk State, Hampton, while at Benedictine, but neither Richmond nor VCU was among them. He viewed a year at Hargrave as a vehicle to improvement and increased exposure, and that postgraduate season reminded a lot of people what I could really do, Daughtry said. "When I was at Hargrave, that was a great basketball time for me." His body matured, naturally and through commitment in the weight room. He left Benedictine weighing 210 pounds, and Daughtry said at Hargrave and then at Indiana State, he lost baby fat and toned up. "Indiana State definitely did take my body to another level, becoming bigger and stronger and everything," Daughtry said. 2 years at Indiana State were among the best of my life," Daughtry said. "Even though I'm leaving, and nobody likes it when a player that's been in the program for a while leaves, I can honestly say I'm receiving nothing but love from everybody here at Indiana State." Daughtry was recruited to Indiana State by coach Josh Schertz, now at St. Louis, an Atlantic 10 conference rival of UR. Daughtry credited Schertz for playing a major role in his improvement, and he wished the Indiana State fans a fond farewell. "They understand the circumstances of college basketball now and how things are working. I feel like Indiana State is always going to have a place in my heart," he said. Richmond also is bringing in a pair of transfer guards, 6'1" David Thomas from DePaul and 6'3" Will Johnston from Loyola Marymount. Additionally, UR has 3 incoming freshmen, 5'11" Aiden Argabright from John Marshall High, 6'6" Donovan Richardson from Stewart, and 6'4" Will Harper, to go along with 2 players who redshirted as true freshmen last season, 6'8" Bryson McLaughlin, and 6'6" Jalen Robinson. On now to local high school sports, and our next story comes to us from special correspondent Matthew Kiewit. White has the right stuff for Petersburg. Tytrail White had me eating out of the palm of his hand. "We are going to work hard every single day. We're going to earn everything we get. We're going to go from good to great and great to the best. I promise you that." The man has a way with words. During an introductory press conference Monday in the Petersburg High School auditorium, the longtime John Marshall boys basketball coach was introduced as the new boys basketball coach for the Crimson Wave. We also learned White is Petersburg City Public Schools' new assistant athletic director. Petersburg basketball is not just on me, it's in me, White said while standing in front of a backdrop decorated with Petersburg, DTLR, and Adidas logos. The Petersburg High School and Virginia State alumnus led John Marshall for 15 seasons, winning 7 state titles in that time, including 4 consecutive to close out his tenure. He was previously an assistant at Petersburg under then-coach, now Crimson Wave athletic director, Bill Lawson III. White took the reins at John Marshall prior to the 2010 season, filling the shoes of longtime Justices coach Frank Freitz Jr. John Marshall's run under White did not come without scrutiny. In 2023, following a 91-34 loss to the Justices in the VHSL Class II state title game, Radford coach Rick Cormaney pleaded for change as it pertains to the competitive imbalance created by White's John Marshall teams. "We need to figure out something here," Cormaney told the Roanoke Times, "because the purity of the high school game is leaving, because this is going to set an example for others to do the same thing." Cormaney prefaced the statement by saying he was neither criticizing White nor John Marshall. But these sentiments lingered. During a VHSL meeting in Abingdon last summer, attendees from Abingdon and Virginia High were upset over supposed advantages enjoyed by the John Marshall boys basketball team, the Bristol Herald Courier reported. The VHSL maintains there have been no documented cases of wrongdoing by John Marshall. "The rumor mill will continue to churn, and folks will voice their opinions. I am not here to say whether that's right or wrong. I am convinced of one thing. White knows a thriving community starts with the next generation, its youth, and sports can provide structure and opportunities that might not be available otherwise." White spent the past 15 years building John Marshall, a Class II school on Richmond's north side, into a national powerhouse and nationwide brand. During lunch with White last fall at Burton's Grill and Bar in Carytown, I asked him, "How?" White explained that he had his pick of Richmond's top high school basketball talent because they knew playing for John Marshall gave them the best chance to go to college and succeed in life. He proceeded to show me schedules he would soon distribute to each of his players ahead of an upcoming out-of-state tournament. Each schedule contained a daily itinerary down to the minute. The itinerary included everything the players would do in a given day, from practice to meals and, of course, studying. Similar to Monday's introduction and subsequent press conference, White's response didn't fully answer every question I had. And that's fine. One thing became clear to me last fall and was reaffirmed Monday. White is committed to helping young people and empowering them to uplift their communities. He did that at John Marshall. Now, it's Petersburg's turn. "It's our turn now," White said before and after the introduction, body and conclusion of his memorized speech. The crowd of about 200 cheered noticeably louder each time they heard his chorus. "It's our turn now." And why wouldn't they cheer? Everything White promised students, parents, grandparents, community members, and local politicians in attendance were things he has already delivered. White vowed to hold his players accountable both on and off the court. He said he also needed buy-in from everyone to prepare Petersburg's youth for the road ahead. It was genuine and moving. During his 20 years of coaching high school and AAU, more than 400 of his athletes have earned basketball scholarships. "So you see, this was a no-brainer to bring our native son back home," Petersburg City Public Schools Superintendent Yolanda Brown said. According to Ty's mother, Kim, when Ty was a boy, he often told her that he aspired to have money so that he could help Petersburg. He always said that, she said. Moving on now to professional hockey, our next story comes to us from Stephen Wino of the Associated Press. Who else? Ovechkin's tally in overtime boosts Caps. Washington blows 2-goal lead in the third period. Dateline, Washington. Alex Ovechkin had seemingly done it all in hockey, leading the Washington Capitals to the Stanley Cup in 2018, earning the Hart Trophy as MVP 3 times, and breaking Wayne Gretzky's record for the most goals in NHL history. The one thing he had not done, until now, was score an overtime playoff goal. Ovechkin obliterated that fun fact about his illustrious career by scoring 2 minutes and 26 seconds into overtime Monday night against the Montreal Canadiens. It was his second goal in the playoff opener and 74th in the postseason over his 2 decades in the league, but the first in 45 games that went to overtime. A goal is a goal, said Ovechkin, whose team blew a 2-goal lead in the third period. It doesn't matter. And in the playoffs especially, it doesn't matter who scores. I think it gives you confidence. He's a beast, said Washington's Tom Wilson, who earned assists on both of Ovechkin's goals. He's a machine. He's out there creating energy for our team. Scoring, that's what a leader does. It's one thing to be good all season long, but the guys that show up and hit and block shots and lead the team, that's why he's a legend. Before letting their lead slip away, the Capitals spent much of the night bullying the smaller, less experienced Canadiens with one big hit after another. That was part of a concerted effort to finish checks, and the Capitals had 42 hits with 14 of 18 skaters registering at least one. Everybody was hitting, said Ovechkin, who led the way with 7. All our guys get involved in the physical game. Said Caps coach Spencer Carberry, he made a couple of big plays for us tonight, was physical, set the tone. He was leading the charge and dragging guys into the fight. The physicality helped Washington tilt the ice, with Ovechkin scoring on the power play late in the first period and setting up Anthony Beauvillier's goal in the second. But it was far from easy. Pierre-Luc Dubois' penalty paved the way for Cole Caulfield to start Montreal's comeback bid with 9:28 left in regulation. The Capitals tried to hold on, and a defensive zone mess allowed Nick Suzuki to tie it with 4:15 left on a shot into a wide-open net after goaltender Logan Thompson slid out of the crease. Fortunately for them, Ovechkin's scoring gave them a 1-0 series lead, Washington's first playoff victory since May 7, 2022. Obviously sat back a bit too much in the third, said Dylan Strome, who had 2 assists. But a win's a win. Take it and move on. Thompson finished with 33 saves in his first NHL game action since getting injured when a shot dislodged his mask April 2nd at Carolina. At the other end of the ice, Sam Montembeau was arguably the Canadiens' best player, stopping 29 of the 31 shots he faced in his Stanley Cup playoff debut. And folks, that's all the time we have today for Richmond Times-Dispatch Sports on Wednesday, April the 23rd. This program broadcasts at noon and then rebroadcasts at 7 p.m. and is always available for streaming at www.virginiavoice.org. I'm Virginia Voice volunteer Chris Terrell, and thanks as always for taking the time to listen today.